Good morning. How are you all doing this morning? A little quiet out there. Are you awake? All right. It's a little hotter this week than it was last week, right? Last week we were worried about the rain, and this week the heat is coming. So, my name is Crystal. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. If I haven't met you yet, I would love to meet you in the lobby afterwards on your way out. We are in our second week of our series, Summer in the Psalms, the series that we're hopeful is a refreshing drink of water for you. If you missed last week, I'd encourage you to go back. You can watch it on YouTube. You can listen on Spotify. It kind of sets up the whole series really nicely for us. This morning, I am going to have you stand as I read from Scripture. We are in Psalm 121. If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn it to Psalm 121. It's pretty much right smack dab in the middle of your Bible. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen. You can also use a Bible app. And if you ever need help finding a Bible app or you need a Bible, let us know. We'd love to help you out with that. We're going to be reading from Psalm 121. This is a song of ascents, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. Psalm 121, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. God, again, we just give you our praise this morning. We recognize that we are here for you. And so would you stir in our hearts the things that you would have us lead into, be challenged by? Would you allow us to just move the distractions away, the things that we carry with us, the things even in the building or the things that we have coming this week, so that we can lean into all that you have for us today? It's in your name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Well, it is summer, and so I'm wondering if any of you have summer road trips planned this summer. Yeah, some of you? All right, well, we have one coming up in July, and right now, maybe some of you, if you have little kids, you're like, my road trip is just going from the store to home, and that is plenty. That's all I can take. My mom likes to tell a story of a road trip that she took when she was 12 years old. And she was 12, her older brother was 15, and her younger brother was 3. And this is the 70s, and they took a car, her parents, and the three of them, a 1967 Mercury Monterey. And my grandfather had this brilliant idea to drive from Yoncalla, Oregon. Anyone know where Yoncalla is? Okay, it's an hour south of Eugene. It's where my grandparents are from. Little tiny town. They thought it'd be a great idea to take the three kids in that car and drive to Anchorage, Alaska. Yeah. In the 70s, right, there's not a lot of, anything happening, but I'm just joking. The 70s, right, you're driving along on this road. You have to go up through Canada and then over. The radio station's non-existent out there. So you don't even have music. There's not a lot of cars out there, so you can't play like we play the alphabet game or the license plate game. When you're up in some of those places, you can't really see a lot of cars or a lot of signs. You could be spending a long, long time on the letter B. So I asked her, I said, what did you do to pass the time? And she's like, well, we each had a notebook with a pen. I was like, wow, I don't think I could make it. They stopped in Washington on the way, but on the way home, they just drove all the way back. And here's the kicker. They only stopped if my grandfather needed to use the bathroom. If you needed to go, but he didn't need to go, you were out of luck. So that's how their road trip went. Now, she has great memories of it, but I don't think that I would survive that kind of road trip with my teenage boys today. And now we have Spotify playlists, right? We can each pick our own playlist. You can have a playlist, and we can take turns listening to. At least we have that. They had none of that. And God's people actually had their own playlist. These are called the Songs of Ascent. And Psalm 121 is a part of this playlist, this collection of 15 psalms. It's 120 through 134. And these psalms were part of the psalms that the Israelites would sing as they took their own journey. They would take this journey, this pilgrimage journey, three times a year to Jerusalem. They would go for Passover to celebrate when Israel was freed from slavery in Egypt. They'd go for Shavuot. I did have to look up how to pronounce that. For the Feast of Weeks, celebrating the giving of the commandments of Moses on Mount Sinai. And then they would also go for Sukkot, the Feast of Booths. And this is when they would commemorate the 40 years that the Israelites spent wandering in the desert after Exodus. And so they would sing these songs. They had these playlists of songs that they would sing on their journey, three times a year. And this was a required journey, and it would remind them that their life, their everyday living, was a journey of faith, that they were actually going somewhere with God. Today's psalm is both an articulation of that particular journey, but it's also a larger expression of life with God that includes us. And in the Psalms of Ascent, we see faith characterized as a journey that we are on rather than a possession that we own, something that we hold on to, something, you know, we hold on to a possession, like if we have a car or a home. Those are things that we have and we possess. But our faith is a journey that we are on. And the journey of faith requires movement. One of the values here that we have at LCC is growth, and that we believe healthy things grow. And it's really this sense of movement, right? Growing things aren't stagnant. This goes for plants. If your plant is not growing, it's stagnant, then it doesn't really have a lot of life. There's not a lot of movement happening. And that happens for us too, as people, but also as a church. And we spent time earlier talking about the story of God, and we sung about it a little bit ago, about how you can trace the story of God through the Bible and how all of these biblical events throughout history, we see time and time again, God is compelling people towards faith through movement. In Genesis 12, Abraham, he is compelled to leave the land of comfort to go into a land of unknown and become a foreigner. In Exodus, Moses, he leaves Midian and he goes to Egypt. God sends him back to Egypt and then leads the children of Israel out of Egypt into the desert and eventually to the land of promise. And then we see in the book of Ruth, we see her leaving her homeland of Israel to travel with her mother-in-law, Naomi. The Israelites as a whole, they are taken into exile in Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. And Nehemiah eventually will lead them back to Jerusalem. And when Jesus calls his disciples, he doesn't just stand on the edge of the shore and say, "Hey, guys, on the boat. Hi, it's Jesus. I'm here. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I'm the Messiah. In a couple years, I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified and die for all the sins of mankind. And then 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. And you should just be prepared for that. Okay, bye. Have a good day." Jesus doesn't do that, right? He doesn't just stand on the shore and say, "Here's all the cool things. You should put your faith in me. I'm going to leave." He says, "Follow me. Come follow me." And this following journey, as we see with the disciples throughout Scripture, and as we know, it will consume your whole life. Your whole life will be swallowed up in this. Everything I do, everything you do, all that I am gets swallowed up in this pursuit of Jesus, this journey of faith. Because the gospel is not only that Jesus is your Savior, but that he is also your Lord. He is also your Lord. This journey doesn't just shape what you believe, but how you live. Last week I mentioned that when we read the Psalms, we are going to have to use our imagination. It's Hebrew poetry. It's full of parallelism and hyperbole and metaphor. And we bring our imagination to the text, and we bring our questions to the text. And we're looking at the text now through the lens of what we know that Jesus came and did. And one of the questions we need to ask ourselves this morning when we're looking at the text is, what kind of journey am I on? What kind of journey am I on? Where is my life going? Where is my life going? Is there any purpose in my life outside of myself? Or have I succumbed to the culture's message that says, my life is just about me? It's just about what I need, what I want, my truth, my peace. Is it just about me? Is there any trajectory to my life that is oriented toward faith in such a way that actually impacts my daily decision making? Or is my faith just something that I simply possess, that I just have? Well, my faith is something I have rather than it being a journey that I'm on. Is there a greater purpose to your life that drives you forward? Or are you simply living for yourself? And for the Israelites singing these psalms on their journey, their greater purpose was a life saturated in God. All of their life was oriented towards a wholehearted approach to loving God. Wholehearted is another one of our values here at Life Community Church. And this wholehearted journey will likely be very easy. This wholehearted journey is going to be the easiest thing that you've ever done. I don't think that's right. This journey of faith is often difficult. The journey of faith that we are on is often difficult. Eugene Peterson, he helped write The Message, and he was a pastor, and he says this: for many, the first great surprise of the Christian life is in the form of troubles we meet. Sometimes it surprises us that life's journey is difficult. It can be really easy to think that, well, we follow Jesus, so we should be protected from the hard things, but that's simply not the case. Jesus followers and non-Jesus followers alike are facing difficult things in their life. We face these difficult things. And for those of us who do follow Jesus, we have those challenges, and we have the added challenge of responding to those difficulties in a way that is faithful to the way of Jesus. So we're going to have difficulties, and people that don't follow Jesus are going to have difficulties. We have the challenge of how we respond to those difficulties in remaining faithful to the way of Jesus. It is really easy. It's really easy to respond to our difficulties the same way that the world responds, striving to be faithful in a world operating on a different playlist is a challenge. It's far too easy to respond in the same way. And the psalmist in this Psalms, he understands the difficulty in this journey of faith. And within the whole of the psalm, there's this recognition that this journey you're about to take is going to have challenges. It's going to be difficult. In fact, we should expect challenges. Only going to speak true things here. We should expect challenges. And the psalmist anticipates that these challenges are coming, and he makes a statement followed by a question. So we're going to walk through the psalm verse by verse together this morning, just kind of unpack it a little bit. Verse 1, I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Other translations say hills. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? In this psalm, the people, they are traveling this distance, right? They're going to Jerusalem, the temple of Jerusalem. And this is actually up in hill country. And Jerusalem would be known as the city on the hill. And so there is this sense of people traveling up to meet with God and this journey towards God. But there's also another dynamic going on here. So I'm going to have you turn your imaginations on with me this morning. Last week I said we were going to need to engage those in reading the psalms. And so turn them on with me this morning. Imagine that you are journeying from Jericho to Jerusalem, or maybe the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem. Wherever you were coming from for this journey, you would be going uphill. You would be making a up and up significant journey over time to get to where you needed to go. And then along the way, as you're walking, if you are out hiking and you're walking along, you look up, right? You look up to where you're going. You look up to the mountain. You look up to the hills. And in this time that the psalm was written, these hills or these high places, they were littered with pagan worship shrines. They were littered, and as a traveler, you would be lured to these places where you could engage a cult prostitute. You could make a sacrifice as an act of worship to enhance the fertility of the land. You can make a sacrifice to another idol to ensure safety against your travels of other people, maybe violence that you might experience, or elements of nature. If you were worried about the heat of the sun, you could make a stop off at the sun priest and pray and make a sacrifice to the sun god for protection. So these are the kinds of things that an Israelite on their journey of faith would encounter as they were heading and looking to the hills. That reminds me of the scene from Pinocchio, the Pleasure Island, where they're just all calling out, "Hey, we've got something good here for you. We have something good here for you. Come check this out. We have just what you need." Today, things are different, but not so different. We set out on the journey of faith with good intentions, and then we're hit with trials, and we're hit with temptations, and we're hit with difficulty of life, and we lift our eyes up to the hills or the mountains for help, and the hills offer us all sorts of alternatives. The hills offer us all sorts of quick fixes that make us feel comfortable, that maybe make us feel a little more secure in the moment, a little something to relieve the anxiety of life's uncertainties. And the question the psalmist asks is, where do you go for help? Do you go to the hills or do you go to God? The psalmist says, "I lift my eyes up to the mountains. I lift my eyes up to the hills. I see everything that the hills have to offer. I see all the quick fixes that are out there. I see all the assurances, the comfort and security that they're offering me, and I have a decision to make in this moment. I have a decision to make in this journey of faith regarding where I'm going to get my help." And so the psalmist responds in verse 2, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." In other words, the maker of the hills, the maker of the mountains. The psalmist knows that the person who is on this journey is going to have to make a daily choice about where their help is going to come from. They're going to lift their eyes up and they're going to see all the alternatives around them, all the alternatives and all the practical reasons why they should get help here. Sometimes the things, the suggestions that the world has to offer feel very practical, but Jesus never claims that following him is the most practical way. Jesus never claims that this is the way of greatest efficiency, the path of least resistance. That's what the hills have to claim. That's what the hills offer. And the psalmist responds with a confession of allegiance. My help comes from the Lord. I'm going to go with the one who actually made the hills. When I lift my eyes up to the mountains, when I lift my eyes up and I see all that's available to me, I'm going to be reminded of the one who made them rather than the cheap fixes that are being peddled on them. I am going to put my trust in him. And as we consider that psalm and our own journey of faith, we have to ask the question of ourselves. Where do I go for help? Where do I go for help? When life trips you up, when you've had a bad day, maybe you've had difficulty at work, maybe your family situation is difficult, maybe you're a student and you failed a test and it feels really, really big. Maybe you've had a conflict in your family. Maybe you've just had a rough week or month or year. Maybe you've been unfairly criticized or your rough day, it feels like it's all consumed in your life. Where do you go for help? Where do you go for help? How do you navigate the real life difficulties that you are experiencing? Do you go to the hills of substances? Substances offer a great temporary relief for us. And we are being peddled in an idea that says it's okay that you can't make it through the day without a drink. It's okay that you can't mother without having a drink of wine at the end of the day. We are being peddled these things on the hill, or maybe it's, well, it's all legal now, so it should be fine. It's just temporary. Or maybe it's something like Netflix or another streaming service where it offers you this enticing, disoriented space where you can step into and you can disassociate with the rest of your life for just a little bit. Just come to the hill of blocking everything else out. Life is really hard, so just spend a few hours here. This is where you can get some help. Or maybe it's porn. This is showing up in film and TV and books specifically geared towards women right now. Come to these cells, it's not that bad. I'm gonna offer you something really, really briefly, and it's just gonna be what you need in this moment. Just something that provides a little relief and a little distraction. There are a lot of hills out there offering false promises. Money, stuff. And when life trips you up, where do you go? Where do you go? The song, the psalmist, calls us to sing, and his singing here is one of trust. It says, when life trips me up, God is a faithful guide. Verse 3, he will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The psalmist here, he's drawing on Israel's history. This part here is referencing the prophet Elijah's encounter with the priests of the false god Baal. This is found in 1 Kings 18. Elijah is mocking the prophets of Baal, and he's asking them if their god was asleep. Is your god asleep or are on vacation? Because you keep asking things and worshiping this god, and he's not responding. Yahweh responds. God is not sleeping. Oftentimes, we just haven't learned to tune in to God's presence and help. This is part of why we are so consistently putting the practices in front of us. This is why our discipleship strategy is wrapped up in the spiritual practices. These things help us to tune in, to be aware of where God is working and that God's presence is with us. When life trips us up, what if our first response is to go to the one who watches over us. Who watches over us? And another way of saying this is that, in another translations, God is our keeper. God is your keeper. And in Hebrew, this word has a lot of meanings, but in this context and what it looks like in the rest of this psalm, in this last couple of verses, it means careful attention paid as a result of a covenant. Covenant means promise. We sang about that this morning as well. And the promise of God is that he will be with us. The promise isn't that we won't go through difficult things or that we won't endure difficult seasons, but it's that even when we go through those things, God is with us. God will be with us when we find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death. When we find ourselves faced with horrible news from a loved one or challenging news from a doctor, when our kids are struggling, when loved ones are making difficult decisions and we feel helpless and like there is no way forward, God is our keeper. God watches over you. When life trips you up on the journey of faith, because it will, God is a faithful guide. If you've ever been on a guided trip, their whole responsibility is to get you where you need to go in one piece, right? As much as possible. Safely guiding you along the way. God watches over you. He guides you safely to the next place and to the next place. And he's with us along the way. And when pressures of life are great, when unexpected bills come in, when the money runs out before the end of the month or the diagnosis is discouraging, when our kids are suffering, when the news cycle makes you feel like the world is ending, when you struggle to open up your social media because you're just not sure what you're gonna see, when it makes you feel like you just wanna put a big blanket around you and hide away, and it all feels too much, the psalmist reminds us, verse 5, The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Have you ever felt lost? Have you ever actually been lost? Maybe lost in the dark. What happens when you get lost, or maybe you've seen this happen in one of your kids, if you've gone over one aisle at the store and all of a sudden they're panicked because they think they've lost you, panic sets in, right? When we feel lost, it can cause us to panic. And when we panic, we begin to feel desperate. And desperation causes us to do foolish things. It can cause us to look to the hills. The psalmist is going to remind us that when the pressures of life are great, God is a constant guard. God is our constant guard. The psalmist says, don't run to the fake shade found in the hills. It might look like shade from afar, but it's fake, it's false. Don't run to the false hills of drink or the hit or the escape. See, the priest on the hill is going to give you all sorts of shortcuts. You will find no end of shortcuts in our culture today to get you through the next thing and to get you through the difficulties of this journey. Compromises and shortcuts are plenty. But the psalmist encourages the traveler to not abandon the shade at your right hand. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 that there's no temptation that has overtaken you except for what's common to man, and that God will give us everything we need to withstand that temptation. We can withstand the things that we are tempted to seek out in the hills. When fear or uncertainty paralyze your next step, when the pressures of life overwhelm us, when your journey of faith leads you into uncharted territory. Anyone ever been there before? Uncharted territory, unsure of what to do. You can't look around and say, hey, have you been here before? It's brand new and it is hard and it is difficult. When life leads you there, the Lord is your constant guard. And God goes with you. We said this a little bit before, but you are not alone in this. In verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will actually watch over your life. Now, you might be thinking, didn't you just say that we are going to experience harm? What this means is you're not going to have necessarily a cushioned life, but you will have a well-armed one. That this is not the end of the story. Sometimes we can get really caught up in our life here, right? We are here for a reason and a purpose, but there is a bigger picture. That our story and our life is not just about us. That there's more at stake here. There's more happening, and we don't get to see the full picture. But God does. God sees all. And what the scripture says, the Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. That's beyond your and I's life here on earth. This is generations and generations and generations that the Lord is with you. Suffering doesn't get the final word. Suffering doesn't get the last word. There is eternal significance here, and the whole of our life is in God's hands. Again, it's bigger than we can see, and it feels hard when we're in the middle of something difficult, but if we can pull back just a little bit, if we can just pull back and get that like 30,000 foot view, we see that God is at work in the whole of our lives, that God guards us, he's our constant guard, and that God is with us. So this morning, I'm going to have some next steps for us, and then we are going to spend some time in prayer together. I'm going to ask you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to consider where your life is going. Where is your life going? Is your life wrapped up in you and what you need and what you want? Do you have a purpose that's outside of you? Would you consider this morning, are you on a journey of faith, or has faith been something that you've just kind of had, that you've possessed? What would it look like if you gave the whole of your life, the whole of your faith journey to Jesus and said, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, making it about myself, and it's just kind of getting tiring. I don't really know what I'm doing the next day or the next or what even my purpose is here. And so this morning you say, you know what, I'm gonna go all in. I want my life to exist beyond just for myself. Again, this is difficult in our culture. This is going to be very different from the stories that you are being told that matter. The journey of faith, again, is not going to be the most convenient one, but it is going to be the most fulfilling one. The second question is, where are you going to help? Where are you going for your help in your journey of faith? What kind of hills have you been running to? Maybe they felt like not too big of a deal, but you keep going back to them again and again and again. Instead of looking to the one who made the hills, you have been going and seeking out false, temporary shade. And this morning, as we move to a time of prayer, maybe this morning, you just need to surrender that hill. You just need to say, I'm not going to that hill anymore. That hill, that temporary relief, that temporary false sense of comfort or security, I'm not gonna go there anymore. I'm gonna lay it down here and I'm not going back. I don't wanna keep going to those hills anymore. Again, that could be anything. That could be substances, that could be and other addictions. It could be just a pattern of behavior that you find yourself going to again and again when life gets difficult. This morning, you're not gonna go there anymore. You're gonna lay it down. And the other question is fear or uncertainty keeping you from going all in with Jesus? Sometimes we feel like we have to have all the answers before we say yes. Sometimes we think, well, I have no idea what all of this means. I read the Bible and I'm confused by it and I don't really know what to do with this situation that I'm in, or I don't understand this aspect of God. And so you've just kind of stayed to the side. And you've said, I don't understand it. It's uncertain to me. We like certainty. And this feels a little uncertain. I don't have all the answers. And this morning, you need to know that it's okay. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have it all figured out. None of us do. If you ever come across someone that says, I know it all. I've got it all figured out. I know it's really run the other way. There are a lot of questions that we aren't going to have answers to. We only really need one answer, it's Jesus. And Jesus says, come, follow me. He didn't lay a bunch of stipulations before the disciples, right? He said, come, follow me. They were a messed up bunch. We've been watching the show, The Chosen. We're a few seasons behind probably most people that are watching it. And they're just like us. Just a bunch of humans that are messy, that mess up, and we're all in that boat. And Jesus says, come, follow me. You don't have to have all the answers. So today's the day. I don't have to have all the answers. Today I'm just gonna go out. I'm gonna give my life to Jesus for the first time. Or maybe you've been following Jesus for a while and you have yet to surrender fully everything to him. You've held some things back, some things that make you feel comfortable, that make you feel safe, but it's false. And this morning, you're gonna surrender that and say, I'm going all in. You can have all of me, all of my life saturated in you. Some of you, you maybe need to take the next step of baptism, and you can mark all of this stuff, mark on the Connect card, let us know. But I'm gonna pray for us, and then I'd invite you to use the altars this morning. Again, this isn't a magical space, and we say that often because I just wanna remind you that if you're not physically able to come down to the altars, okay. But I would never want you to feel afraid to move forward. There's something about bringing our whole selves down and surrendering, and this act of surrender to say, I don't know what to do with this situation in my life. This journey of faith is difficult, and I need you. I need you. And so this morning, as we pray, as the team comes and leads us in another song, ask yourself the questions, where's my life going? This is for all of us. This is for the young, and this is for the people that maybe don't have as much time left as some of the rest of us. You can still ask that question, where is your life going? What is the purpose for your life? And where am I going to for help in my journey of faith? What kind of hills have I been going to, and can I commit to going to the maker of the hills? And then if fear or uncertainty have been keeping you from going all in, today's the day. Don't let it hinder you anymore. It's okay to keep your feet pointed towards Jesus and also be afraid and also be a little bit worried and uncertain. It's okay. We just keep moving forward together. The church is often, you know, people will say that the church is not a place. It's a gathering of people. It's a people, and that is true. But we do come to a church building because we do this together. That we are on this journey of faith together. We are not alone. And it's important for us to gather and be reminded of that. So I'm going to pray for us this morning and then invite you to come. And then the worship team will come. And then I'll come back up to dismiss us. God, thank you this morning for your goodness and your faithfulness. I think back on my own life and I can see where you were a constant guard, where you were with me, even in the moment if I didn't notice it. I pray this morning for the people that have gathered here. They're from all different families, all different life stories. They all are carrying different difficulties. They're all on different points in their journey of faith. So first, I just want to pray for encouragement. It can be weary. It can be difficult. But you remind us that we are not alone, that you are with us, and that a life in you offers us something far, far better than we could get anywhere else. So this morning, would you just remind us that a life with you is a life of purpose and that you have more for us. And for those in the room or watching online or listening back that are maybe thinking through the places that they go to when life is hard, when they've had a hard day, when they've messed up, when they've felt anxious, when they've felt concerned or worried, when the news isn't good, when family is difficult, and they find themselves reaching for a hill. God, would you remind them that you are the maker of heaven and earth. And that same God who created all of this loves them deeply. Loves them right where they are at, but will not leave them unchanged. So God, would you move in hearts to surrender the hills? And then if there's anyone that just has been afraid or uncertain or feeling like they have to have it all figured out or have all the answers before they can make a decision to follow you, to go all in, would you remind them this morning that you love them right where they're at? They don't have to have it all figured out. We're so thankful for that, God. We give you this time. We give you our hearts. We surrender to you. We know that our world needs people who are looking to Jesus for their answers and nowhere else. And it starts with us. So convict, stir,